then I got this crazy skin cancer, and a lot of his cousin, Brother Robert, yeah, I got it on my face, Brother Joel, but I got it on him and stuff. I tell you, that stuff's rough. You want to scratch it, and if you scratch it, it hurts and itches. And might drive me nuts. Hey, Bibles, turn over to John, 1 John. Lord just laid this on my heart. I've been kind of pondering with it. And I got up last night. Well, it was about 3. I couldn't go to sleep. Finally got up at 4 and just studied. There wasn't no need to try to sleep. Couldn't sleep. Go to 1 John chapter 1. And let's pray. Father, we come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful for Calvary, the blood of the Lamb, the goodness of God. I pray, dear God, you'd bless in the service. I pray you'd help us and give us something from this, Lord, in the reading of the Word of God. I pray, God, you bless each and every Sunday school room, the teachers and the children. I ask you, God, to help the preacher in the preaching hour, that you might use him for the glory of God. There'll be one here lost, God, that might get saved. Lord, there's a lot of people sick, and I pray, Lord, you might help them and touch their bodies, and pray, God, that you they might get well. I ask you, God, to lead us and guide us in these last days and help us, God, to be a testimony and a witness to this lost and dying world. Thank you for all you've done in Jesus' name. Amen. Over in John, I mean, that's just a great chapter. I mean, John's, 1 John's a good book. I mean, I really enjoy reading it. It says there in verse 1, it says, behold. It says, behold. I mean, you know, look out. You know, look. You know, behold. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. It says, what manner of love. And boy, I got to going into that this morning, and that manner of love that he bestowed upon me, I'm telling you what, the love of God Almighty, hey, come down to this earth as a child, and how he was born in a manger and didn't have nothing. And that love, what manner, the manner, and the manner of something is the way you do something, and the way you exhort yourself or what you put into it. You do it in some kind of manner. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he come down and come into a virgin. It was born of a virgin. And I tell you, you get to thinking about it, and it breaks your heart when you get to thinking. He, that song, you know, he died on the cross with you on his mind. And I'm telling you, he did. He died on the cross. I was on his mind. And he thought about me. And it says here, behold, what manner of love. What manner of this, the love he had for you and me. And I'm telling you that it, when he come to this earth, he knew what he was going to have to do. He knew what was going to take place. And he knew what was going to happen. And over in Matthew chapter 27, he did all this because he loved us. It said, chapter 27, verse 24, when Pilate saw he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just man. He knew that he was just. And I'm going to tell you, there's something wrong with us as children of God. We'll read this right now and it won't even touch your heart. I mean, it won't touch your heart because you've just gone cold to it. I've gotten cold to the things of God. And you hear it all the time about Christ dying. But let God work and speak to your heart. And think in your mind. That's what you got a mind for. I mean, you think and dream about other things. You can dream about a car you want, about a rifle you want, about a dress you want, whatever. Just let it get in your mind. Just think, while we look on these things here, the manner of love that he bestowed, the manner that he bestowed on us. It said, then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. And it is. The blood of Jesus Christ has been on them all these years and still is. They're still suffering for what they've done, what the Father's done. And then released the Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. He scourged him. I mean, I tell you what, them grand boys of mine, you get the belt at them, they start screaming, oh, you don't kill me, don't kill me. And I mean, I'm telling you, they run around hollering. What if you were scourged with this cat of nine tails and had bones and glass embedded in the straps? And then when he took and he hit the prisoner or whoever, when he hit Jesus, they just ripped hunks of meat out of him. I mean, what manner of love is that? That someone loves you so much that they would take that. I dare say I wouldn't take it for nobody. I mean, I hope I would do it for my wife or my kids. But bro, I don't know what you do. You can brag and you can boast all you want. But when it comes time to be it happening to you, you don't know what's going to. But Jesus knew what was going to take place here. He knew that all this was going to happen. And they took it and they scourged him. You know, it just sounds like that. And they scourged him. You're like, it ain't nothing. My goodness, my friend, it was horrible. Can you just imagine when that whip hit him out last? And then when they jerked it, they didn't just pull, they jerked it. And it just pieces of meat come out of him. And the flesh come out of him. And he bled as a lamb for the sacrifice. He was cut to pieces. He was filleted for us. He was ripped apart. His blood was shed. What manner of love is this? There's so much love there that I'm telling you, God, Jesus loved us so much that He took all this and He didn't regret it not one time. He didn't cry out. He didn't beg for them to quit. He took it like a man. And He was a man, but yet He was God. Thank God, I'm telling you, He died for me because He loved me. And He loves me now. I mean, when He was on the cross, He saw me. He saw you. He saw you in the time now that we're in. And you know what? You look at the time we're in, and you go out now, you can't hardly talk about Jesus. You tell you something about Jesus, they want to lock you up. They want to get you for running somebody down because you say they're going to hell. The truth is true. The Word of God is true. They're going to hell if they're not saved. What manner of love is this that Jesus Christ did all this for us? He did all this. He took all the suffering. And He took them, they scourged Him. And then He sent Him to be crucified. And then the soldiers of the governor in verse 27 took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto Him the whole band of... Can you imagine? Man, I just not even being Peter now, I'd be so embarrassed. I would be so embarrassed. You'd be standing in front of all them people. And Jesus went in there. And I guarantee you that I don't know. He was man. Now, I don't know. I'm sure he says He suffered what we would suffer. So can you imagine Him standing there? The God of the universe. The One who made everything. Standing there in front of filthy, wicked man. Spitting on Him with the vial of their mouth and taking beating Him with the palms of their hand. And they done beat Him with the whip and cut Him all to pieces. And then they take that crown of thorns and they just jam it down on His head. I tell you, that what manner of love. This is so much love. We forget this. You forget it. I forget it. When we're out having a good time and we go in a church and we don't really think about what it took for us to have a good church. What it took for preachers to get up and preach the Word of God. Hey, preachers don't preach much anymore. I went to that fellowship last night. It was good fellowship, good preaching. But there wasn't about six preachers there. There used to be about 20 of them, but there wasn't about six. But I tell you what, it's gotten now where you preach. You don't know if you can get locked up or what. You don't know what's going to happen. But look at the manner of love that Jesus Christ had for you. And yet you can't even open your mouth for Jesus. You won't even tell nobody about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. Look how He died. Look how He suffered. What manner of love that He showed forth to you. And yet you can't open your mouth. I can't open my mouth for Jesus. I mean, it's crying shame. In the day we live in, it's going to come a time to whether you're going to stand or you're not going to stand. You're going to be persecuted or you're not going to be persecuted. Either you'll take a stand for the Lord and you'll talk about Jesus and you'll witness and you'll pray openly if you want to pray and you won't worry about what they do. It's coming to that. It's coming. It was that one time many, many years ago when the Catholics persecuted the saints. And I'll tell you what, they'll do it right now. They hate you. They hate you as a child of God. They hate you. Why? Because they hated Him. It says in the Word, what manner of love is this? They hated Him and they crucified Him and cut Him to pieces and beat Him and spit on Him. They do the same to you. I mean, they don't care about you. They don't care about your kids. They don't care if your kids grow up and go to hell. They don't care about them. We're living in a time and a day where the Bible talks about they'll be lovers of evil. They love evil. They just want to do the things of the devil. They enjoy the things of the devil. Although you think they would have come to church last night? You think they would, Brother Hyde and Miss Meyer rode the other week, 10, 12 hours to Kentucky? Me and Brother Hyde's done that. You think they would do that? They won't walk across the street. They won't walk over there to the street, Brother Keith, to hear the Word of God. They don't want the Word of God. And you got loved ones. You got your loved ones in your homes and your families, and you see them all the time, and they're the same way. They don't love Jesus. They think you're crazy. What manner of love is Jesus doing here when He died on that cross? What kind of love should you try to show forth to your family? I mean, it's a sad day. You come into churches and they'll have a big Bible. You know, most of them sitting out. It's always on the same page, you know, because nobody ever touches it. You can go in a lot of people's homes and they got a Bible laying there. Lost people coming in and out. Never one time did they pick the Bible up and say, "Hey, you ever read this? Let me show you something." I'm guilty. I mean, I'm guilty of doing the same thing. I got Bibles all in my house, and I don't mind showing somebody or telling somebody. And I witnessed to people. I got a boy down the road, I witnessed to him one night, and the Lord dealt with him. I mean, God dealt with him. And I thought those boys were going to fall out and cry out to God. And then just something happened. He said, "Well, let me go talk to my uncle." I know something. But here now, his father-in-law, guy lives down the road, he's dying with cancer. And now he found out he got two big old blood clots in his lungs. And he tells me the other day, he says, "Me and you got to go save him. We got to go down there and save him." I said, "Buddy, I can't save him." I said, "I can't save you." I said, "God's the only one that can save you. If he could just see the manner of love that Jesus performed and done on the cross, that manner." It's a sad thing. I know that guy down there. I've known him. And he's a car salesman, and he just likes money. And everything's money to him. Everything's not money. Money's not going to help you when you're in the pits of hell. Money's, you can't buy your way out of hell. A rich man, he wasn't saying nothing about his money. He didn't matter to him about his money. But he was in hell wanting one drop of water. I tell you what, he'll give you every dime he had for that one drop of water. But that manner of love that Jesus Christ had for us. And I'll tell you, this is in the angels. Let me get back over here. It says, "And they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe." Can you imagine somebody just stripping all your clothes off from you? I mean, you see on these pictures where they got a little worn cloth. I don't think he had nothing when he was on the cross. He's hanging there and didn't have nothing on. And everybody's staring at him and looking at him. I tell you what, it had to be a horrible feeling. When I had my quadruple heart bypass, you know, you go in there. I know women have it rough when they have children and everything. And you go in there and they take your clothes off. And it's just a horrible thing. And I tell you what, and you get so embarrassed and everything. I just finally got to the point that I didn't care. And I was at the house. The woman come in. She wanted to look at my incision on my legs. I just dropped my pants. I mean, you just get so immune to it. But to be out there on that cross and you just naked with no clothes on and be up there and everybody coming by and the devil out there, the people snarling and wagging their heads and "Where's your God now? Won't you call down some angels here? Why don't you take him off the cross?" And there he was, the manner of love that he could have done them things. He could have come off that cross. It says, "Behold, what manner of love." And there's no manner of love that we could ever do to show that to anybody. All we can do is try to get in the Bible, try to bring this out in the Word of God and show some lost sinner what manner of love that he had for him, that he has for him. And I tell you, he did that, and he had no regrets. He didn't have no shame about him as far as dying for you. I mean, I can imagine the shame he had, but he didn't as far as dying for you. He did that because it was planned many years ago. And they took him, stripped him, and when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they spit upon him, and they took a reed and smote him on the head. They just hit that crown of thorns and knocked him down in his head. You've seen these crown of thorns, what they make with them big old long thorns. I mean, can you imagine that going in your head? I got this crazy skin cancer stuff all over my head, and it's just itching and burning. And if I just touch it and try to scratch it, it just hurts so bad. But I can't imagine, I can't fathom a crown of thorns on my head and somebody hitting it. You touch my head and rub it, buddy, I'm going to slap you upside the head because it hurts. And I tell you, what Jesus done for you, that manner of love, how he loved you so much. What are you doing for him? What are we doing to show just the simplest manner of love that we can show somebody? I mean, we're quick to run our mouth, I am, and say stuff that I shouldn't say and condemn people or whatever. I tell you, the manner of love is a way of doing and being done or happening. It's a mode of action. It's an occurrence. It's the way he done it. He wouldn't have it done any other way. It had to be a blood sacrifice. There was that lamb offered up in the Old Testament. It was a special lamb they took out and chose. It had no imperfections on it. It was raised up and they took and slew it at the Passover. For that simple reason, because of blood. And it couldn't have no imperfection. My Savior did not have no imperfection. People say, and I've had it go through my mind, you mean all them years as a child, man, I've got scars all over me where I fell and cut my head and busted. Jesus never had no scars, never had no wounds, never had no imperfections on him. The manner of love, I believe he walked on angels' hands, the Bible talks about, and they took care of him. And he never got hurt until the day he went to the cross and he was crucified for us. Manner of love. That manner of love that he had for us. I tell you, Justin, it's just unreal. It's unreal that he loves you that much. Why did he save me? An old drunk, an old scumbag, wasn't worth nothing. And yet he died and made me a son of God. Amen. I've become a son of God. I tell you what, God, the Lord is just to think about the love. And they mocked him and made fun of him. But yet he died for me. And you become a son of God. It says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. I'm a son of God. Can you imagine that you're a son of God? What are you doing with this old flesh, this old temple? What are you putting in it? What are you putting on it? Where are you taking it? You're a son of God. You should be doing the things that the Son of God does. I shouldn't be out here doing things that's contrary to the teaching of the Word of God. Jesus Christ loved me enough to make me a son of God. He adopted me into the family, and I got to looking and studying on this adopting business. When you get adopted into a family, you become just like that child. You're that. Them children are your children. They're above you. They just like you had them yourself. And I tell you what, they become yours. Just because they wasn't born of you, but you adopted them, it made them yours. And that's the same with Jesus Christ. We was adopted into the family. Thank God I've become a son of God. Amen. Son of God. Amen. But I tell you, this life is rough. I tell you, it could be rougher, but I tell you, thank God we got hope looking for, to look for. That blessed hope and assurance that we can look and see that Jesus Christ one day is coming because He made us a child, a son of God. And thank God I'm just like Jesus in that point of view. I'm God's son. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank God. It can't nothing happen to me unless God lets it happen. I wasn't going to preach. I was trying to teach. I tell you, just inside of me, I'm just shaking, just thinking about the love, that love that He loved you and adopted you, took you in His family, and He got a home waiting for you. He can't throw you out, preacher. He's got to give you everything that the other kids would get. Thank God. He's got to give me everything that all the other kids. Thank God. I'm glad. I'm glad that I'm a child of God, and He's a rich God, and He's got everything in the world, and He's not going to hold nothing back. He's not going to say, preacher, He's not going to say, I tell you what, you can't have this over here because you didn't do right. But He's going to say, here, brother, come into the joys of the Lord. All this is yours, just like all this is everybody else. Thank God. Amen. I tell you what. Hey, you a son of God. Don't that mean anything to you? You a son of God. I go out on the street, they say, you ain't nobody. Oh, yes, I am. Right. I'm a son of God. Amen. I tell you what, sometimes I might not act like it or feel like it or look like it, but I'm a son of God. Amen. There ain't nothing you can do about it. You a son of God. Jonathan, you're a son of God. I remember that night when God dealt with you and God saved you. Hallelujah. You, a birthing took place and you was adopted into the family and you become a son of God. Tell you what, boy, it's a blessed and holy thing when God comes into your life and you change from an old wicked, vile sinner and you're doing the things of the devil. And you know what? You start doing the things of God, doing the things of your Father. I tell you what, it's amazing. It's just a miraculous thing how God changes you. Is that thing hitting? It keeps making a noise. Oh, well. But it's amazing how God does and makes you a child of God. We'll take care of that. But I'm glad to be a son of God. Amen. Amen. In Philippians 2:15 it says, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. I tell you what, my friend, it is crooked. This is a crooked and a perverted nation. And everything's wicked about it. And I tell you what, we're a son of God and we can walk with God and have the mind of God in our head and keep our mind on God instead of doing the things of the world, do the things of God. Read your Bible, study your Bible, hear preaching, feed the soul, buddy. Don't feed the flesh. Amen. Amen. Behold, what manner of love, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. They didn't know Him. They still don't know Him. I tell you what, but we know Him. We can be in the house of God or be around. I tell you what, last night, boy, I felt God. I tell you, if I wasn't lost, I wouldn't have felt God. But I felt God come on me when I was preaching. I tell you, I told Pat, in the Bible talks about their legs smoked together and they were so scared. Well, my leg was just a jerk while I was trying to preach. Pat said, well, I didn't notice it. I tell you what, God, I never get that in a bar or getting drunk or taking drugs and stuff. But I got a feeling in God, I could feel a power on me and I could feel the Spirit moving inside of me and God putting words in my mouth. And this, because I was son of God. And He said He would do that. He said He would fill me and He'd take and use me for His glory. Amen. I don't want to be used for my glory. I don't want nothing out of it. I just want God's glory to be done. I want everything to be given to the Lord because He is everything. He's all there is and there is nothing else. And then in verse 2, behold, now are we We, you read there, it's about five times it says, now are we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now you think about that a little bit. It don't appear what we should be. It don't say what's going to be. It's an inability to apprehend the truth. We can't apprehend it. We couldn't fathom what it's going to be like Him. I mean, when we see Him, we're going to become like Him. And we'll have that. We got the faith now that we're trusting in Him to make us like Him. But when we see Him, the end of faith got nothing to do with bam, He takes over. And we become, and we look like Him. For it says we shall be like Him and be as He is. Thank God. Ain't going to have the wicked body no more. Ain't going to have all this skin cancer, all this hurt and pain, and all this junk going on, Brother Robert, ain't going to be there no more. Why? Because I'm a son of God, and when I see Him, thank God, I'm going to become just like Him, and I'm going to be like Him with no pain, no sorrow, no heartaches. I tell you, it's going to be a grand and glorious feeling. To be where you don't have no problems no more. Then you see, you can realize, and you can really get in your mind and really understand what manner of love. Yeah. Hey, man, that's some great love. I know mothers love their little children. Seems like the mother loves the kids more than the father. But you realize most of the time fathers work. My kids was growing up, I worked two or three jobs just trying to make things meet. I come home from a job and you get up out there in the garage and working half the night. But I tell you what, thank God, God ain't going to do me that way. God's going to love me the same as He loves you. And He's going to love me the same as He loves you. He's going to love us all the same. Hey, there's no big eyes and little U's in the eyes of God. There's no certain place at the cross that you had to be to get saved. The ground's level at the foot of the cross. Amen. I'm glad when I went to Him, He come unto me and He accepted me as I was, as I am. He didn't say change this, change that. He changed me, thank God. Made me a child of God. That manner of love, I tell you, it's just so great. And I don't know what I'm going to look like. And I'm waiting to see. And John 13:7, Jesus answered and said to him, What do thou knowest not now? What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Right. We don't know, but we'll know here. And when it all takes place, when Jesus comes back, we'll know. When He calls us up in the air and we go to meet Him, I tell you, we'll know. And then you look at this thing here, and the human weakness is necessitates that the human weakness of our body, it cannot understand and it cannot take the changes of God and how God made all this happen. It has to be done by God. Your body, your wicked human flesh cannot do these things on its own. Jesus had to come and do it within you. He had to take you and mold you and make you like that clay, like the potter does the clay. And when He molds you and makes you and gets all the imperfect stuff out, and He makes you a child of God where you're imperfect because you're a son of God. Hallelujah. I tell you what, it's a good thing. I'm glad I'm so saved. I'm glad, thank God, I'm saved. I'm glad I can be around saved people. Thank God. And then you got that earthly limitations that feather you, that hold you down. You got the more earthly body that holds you back. Oh, Lord, I last night, if I could, I'd have run across the top of the pews. But I'm limited. My body, the old earthly body, wouldn't do it, Brother Keith. I'd probably get halfway and fall off the side. But I don't know. God is in it. I just don't trust God enough. I don't know, Brother Danny. I tell you, when you go to take that step, you better watch out. Make sure you're in the Spirit of God. I'd hate to be running out there and fall off in the floor. And say, well, He wasn't in the Spirit. You'd never live that down. I'd probably just crawl on out the door. I mean, but I'll tell you, Jesus Christ, if God is in it, it'll be right and it'll be perfect. But that earthly limitations hold you back. 1 Corinthians 13:12 says, for now we see through a glass darkly. And then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. I don't know what I'm going to be, how it's going to be when we get to heaven, but I know I'm going to be like Him. And then when we get there, we'll know what it is because we'll be like Him. Amen. I'm telling you, we just hoping and just looking for it to come. And what do we know? We know what the Word of God tells us. We know what's been preached from generation to generation. I mean, you say, well, what if it don't take place? Well, I believe it'll take place because I believe He died on the cross at Calvary. There's an empty tomb over there where all these other buzzards, they're still in their tombs and they ain't never rise or nothing. But see, the Son of God rose and went to heaven and He said, I will come back. And thank God He's coming back to take us out of here. Amen. There's the earthly limitations and are on you, and you see them in the way they hold you back. And I'm sure, Brother Robert, you'd love to get out and go and hear preaching and go and do things of God. And Brother Danny, you'd love to go out on revivals and stuff. And I'll tell you, but the old body, it holds you back and won't let you go. As much as you want to go, the old body won't let you go. Right. One day, ain't going to be nothing holding you back. There won't be nothing holding you down. I tell you what, you'll be able to get up and go with the Lord. Maybe walk with Him for days or years, and He'll walk around and show you things in heaven. And you'll understand then what it's going to be like. You'll understand how it is there then. I can't tell you. I can tell you why I look. I mean, I can see in my mind when we get there, that table spread for just as far as you can see when He serves us at the Lamb's Supper, and we all sit. Can you imagine? Boy, I tell you what, I believe we'll have a steak. I like thick steak. Give me a thick steak, it'll be just right. I tell you what, thank God. I tell you, we'll sit there and God will come around and serve us, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can imagine in my mind the river of life coming down. And I can imagine the saints of God. But you don't know how it is because we don't know because it hasn't yet appeared to us. But one day it will appear and we will be there. Thank God.
Yeah.
I tell you what, I can't wait. It's been a long time coming. I know a lot, Brother Robert, you've been saved a long time. You've been alive a long time. I've been saved 43 years, and I've never stopped looking for His coming. You stop looking for His coming, if you're a child of God, you're dead. You won't look for Him because you'll be with Him. Amen. You'll be looking for Him. But I'm looking for His coming. I'm looking for Him to come back. But what manner of love that He done all this. That He went up there and built a... He was a carpenter. So He built a mansion for you. Done it just like you wanted it. Fixed everything like... I don't think you'll be in it that much. But He built it so if you wanted to go in it. I mean, it's going to be too much to find out what yet appears. You know, so we're going to be able to find out what's appearing. Then we get up there and the Lord's going to show us all the things that could have been and what happened and how it was and how who got saved and all this. And we'll find out things that we never thought we'd know. He'll answer your questions. I tell you, what manner of love Jesus Christ had when He went on that cross. But it says, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But when we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. We're going to see Him as He is. We're going to see Him in all His splendor, in all His glory, in all the holiness of God. And we're going to see Him. And it says we're going to be like Him. Amen. We're going to be like Him. We're going to put off this flesh. Thank God, we're going to have incorrupt body. We ain't going to have this old corruption in us no more. We're going to be incorrupt and perfect. And thank God, we'll have a body like His. Yes, sir. I'll tell you what. He's coming. And when He appears, we're going to be like Him. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is a transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. He said, whosoever abideth in Him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen Him, neither knoweth Him. You say, well, you sin. Yeah, the flesh sins. But the spirit don't sin. You don't sin in your, when your spirit don't sin against God. Your mouth, your flesh might say a curse word or something, but it grieves the spirit of, in your side of you, and it just knocks you down and you cry out. The difference between a lost person and a saved, you do something wrong and you're convicted right then when you do it, and you might not say you're sorry, but you will. Most of the time you'll cry out and say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. But if you go on, it'll just eat at you and eat at you like the cancer does, and just eat you, and next thing you know, you fall out. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God. Why didn't you do it to start with? You wouldn't have had so much trouble. I tell you, it's hard to say you're sorry. It's hard for men. I tell you what, it's hard for women too. I don't care what y'all say. You tell me all you want. You got pride too. I mean, sometimes, I don't want to say I'm sorry for nothing, but then I end up having to say it. But I tell you what, there's times in your life you need to say you're sorry and show the love of God. Show what manner of love that He bestowed upon you when you got saved. When you become His child, you become a new person. You're a new creature. I tell you what, I'm glad that I've become a new creature. And I'm not the same that I once was. And I tell you what, when He appears, I'm going to be like Him. And over in Thessalonians, and I'm going to close with this. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, it talks about the rapture. And, man, I love reading this. It said, but I would not have you to be ignorant. He don't want you to be ignorant about it. Don't be ignorant. If you're ignorant about the rapture, it's because you want to be ignorant. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant. So you need to not be ignorant and read and study your Bible. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. They don't have no hope. You go into a lost person's funeral today, and they'll be in there crying and carrying on, and some of them will be laying on a coffin and screaming, oh, he's gone, he's gone. Not if he's saved. Not if you're saved. You're going to see him again. You'll see him in the heaven, meet him in the air, meet her in the air. There'll be a holy meeting one day when the rapture takes place. And it says, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. You say, well, I don't never think about the rapture. I tell you, you need to get your thinker checked out, because I think about it all the time, preacher. I go down the road and I look in the sky and I think it'd be a good day for the Lord to come. I tell you, you walk outside and you say, oh, it'd be a good day for the Lord. You be out there working, you think, man, I'd like to be gone with the Lord right now. Robert, one day it's going to take place. It's become a fact. It's going to become a reality. And we're going to get up real quick and go and be with the Lord and meet Him in the air and be like Him and be changed just like He is. Yes. What a grand and glorious day that's going to be. Yes. And it teaches you here, you don't have to be ignorant. You can learn all about the rapture. Yeah, I tell you, most people don't know nothing about the rapture in churches, because I never heard nothing about it when I was in the Lutheran church. Never one time did I ever hear nothing about the rapture of the church. I never heard about the saints of God rising up from the ground and going up to be with Jesus. Thank God, you better be glad you're in a church that preaches something and you know some things out of the Word of God, because the man of God studied and taught you. I tell you, and then it says, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. He ain't going to prevent them. If somebody said, oh, don't stand on that grave. He's going to come up anyway. You stand on the grave all you want. He's coming up. He's coming out of that grave. I mean, I used to go through the grave and, you know, I try not to walk on. I got thinking one day, well, that's crazy. Jesus is going to bring them up where there's a house sitting on them. He says He's going to gather them out to sea. He's going to gather them all over the world. He take and burn their ashes and throw them all out and blow all over. Can you imagine all them ashes start coming together? And then something like out of the off TV, a Robo Man or something, whatever. And it comes all together and they're going to go up to be with God. Yeah. All the people, the Navy men and the people that died in the water and the oceans that were saved. And the fish ate them and spread them all over the sea. Yeah. Amen. How you explain that? God, that's how you explain it. That's all I can say, God. That's all you can explain it with is God. And then it says, For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Can you imagine they're going to rise first? There's going to be my daddy come up, and I'm going to see him. I got grandmother, grandfather, and then the mama says they would say, I'm going to see him. I never saw him before. Never met him. Don't know what they look like except for a picture. But you're going to see him in the head, in the air, and then we're going to all be changed like him, but yet we'll still know one another. Right. Tell me that ain't the love of God.
Yes.
Women have lost children and they miscarriage, and them little babies will be there. Hey, you ought to have a brother or sister you never saw, or whatever, a granddaughter, grandson. Hey, they'll be there, that child will. God's not going to put that child in hell. It'll meet you in the air.
Right.
God, I tell you what, all these babies they're aborting, they'll come back one day and they'll stand as a judge before them at the judgment seat of Christ, at the great white throne judgment. And then it says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. I'm comforted with these words. I'm comforted with the thought that Jesus is coming back. He said, behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Amen. And I'll tell you, that's just great to think that I ain't got to carry in this old body from now on. You might put me in the grave, but I'm coming up.
Amen.
You mark her down, I'm coming up.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, I don't know about nobody else, but I'm coming up.
Right.
If this book is true, and I believe it is,
amen,
I'm coming up.
Yeah.
I'm going to get out of here. Got churches go to, he'd sing this song, ain't no grave gonna hold my body down.
Right.
Or no, was that what it was, Pat? But he said you take a sheet, and let a little sheet hold you down in the bed. But yeah, you say ain't no grave gonna hold you down. But I tell you what, it's gonna take place. You just hang on. Just keep on keeping on. Keep walking, keep studying, keep looking for the Lord. Don't fall short down. But we at the threshold. I'm looking every day. I mean, I can't wait till He comes. Just a closing prayer.